I think that it's going to cause a continuing state of anxiety. The biggest adverse impact of which will be that our best and brightest members of the federal workforce are simply going to go into the private sector or retire early. It's impossible to predict how many positions will be unfilled, how many people will be furloughed, and how many people might be laid off. Of course, they'd be laid off by early outs and so on. But nevertheless, the overall impact is going to be that we will have a smaller and probably less productive federal workforce, which I think is pretty much what the objective was on the part of some of the anti-government folks who have had such sway during this process.
As I talk to folks both in and out of government, people who have been watching this process unfold, a lot of folks are saying that it's not so much what the potential cuts would have been or what the sequestration results might be. It's the fact that, as you're alluding to, we just don't know anything more now than we did when this whole process started.
That's right, except that we know that we are functioning within an anti-government culture. That the legislative branch, at least the majority in the House and a substantial number of senators, don't appreciate the role that the federal workforce plays in our society, how much they contribute to the strength of our economy, to the cohesiveness of our community, to the opportunities that they provide through education, transportation, all of the various things they do, and of course the security, not just through our military, but Homeland Security and Department of Justice, federal law enforcement. I mean, all of these things are basically taken for granted, Francis, and the only way that the Congress and the people who elect these people are going to appreciate the role that the federal government plays in our society is for it no longer to be playing that role. That's the problem. I hear from so many people who call in. Fortunately, most of them are not from Northern Virginia, but, they say, I get nothing from government. Why should I be paying anything? And they don't think about the fact that they are kept physically secure from our military. They don't think about all the federal law enforcement agents and attorneys that enforce the law that any other country would give anything to have in terms of quality and quantity of professionals. They don't think about the health of our environment, food safety inspectors, air traffic controllers, the fact that the IRS is not corrupt and that every IRS agent brings in more than $2 million a year at a minimum. We're going to have $4.5 billion less tax revenue because we'll probably eliminate more than 2,000 the IRS agents that collect taxes and go after tax cheats. There's just so many things that the federal government does, and until it stops doing it, it's going to go unappreciated. We take the fact that we have the least corrupt large federal workforce on the planet. We take that for granted. The Medicare, Social Security, they're the most efficient in terms of managing benefit payments and healthcare reimbursement. The administration and profit that private insurance companies charge is almost 20 times what in some cases what it is for the federal workforce. But all of these things are just assumed that they will continue. And now we have a situation where I think they're going to get tested, and this could go on for another decade because the inability of the super committee to raise revenue. We're at an historically low period. I mean, we've never been at 15% and been able to maintain a strong private economy. But we're bringing in about 15% of GDP. They refuse to increase revenue above that. And so we're going to continue either not paying for the services that we get or cutting those services dramatically. And whatever alternative, it's going to come back to haunt us.
We do have a little bit of good news when it comes to budgets and spending. We have the minibus that passed last week. Is there any cause for optimism because at least Congress was able to get together on those five agencies and then some of the smaller science agencies? Or is that just, do you look at that as more an anomaly, a blip on the radar?
Well, I mean, you can, that's some progress, but the big agencies, the Defense Department, Labor, Health, and Human Services, they're not ready to go. Defense, we could get done, but that's probably the only engine that can carry some of the other appropriation bills. The Labor, Health, and Human Services is going to be very problematic. I don't see how we reach agreement on that. Interior is going to be problematic as well with EPA. I don't see how we reach agreement on that. Foreign operations, another sticking point that the Senate couldn't even get through. The fact that we got, we got less than half of the bills done doesn't mean that, we're home free. I think it's going to be very difficult to get these resolved. And of course, the fiscal year has already started, Francis. So, you know, why would we raise banners and applaud when, even at this, we're 5 months late and already into the fiscal year? The fact is that the Congress is dysfunctional. It's the of the three branches of government that this is the least functional, and I think once again we've let down the people who expect us to make their government work. This is, I think it was doomed to failure, but from the very outset. But it's another confirmation that we can't continue to function this way. We can't be a world-class economy. We can't be the kind of melting pot that we've been. We can't provide the quality of life that the American people have come to expect if this is the kind of Congress that is going to represent the American people. That you can't legislate for a government if from the outset you're anti-government. And these people, when I first came into politics and when I was first elected to the U.S. Congress, you know, most of the people, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, Francis, they chose public service to make this more just, a more peaceful and sustainable world. We might disagree on the means to achieve that end, but that was our basic objective. That is no longer the objective that motivates the majority of people, at least in the House of Representatives. Their objective is to reduce the size and influence of the federal government, period, because the people who elected them to office don't want to pay taxes, they don't want to be regulated, they have virtually no appreciation or even respect for the role that the federal government has played in the growth and prosperity of our economy and society.
Well, let me ask you this then, Congressman. This is a little bit off the beaten track, but it's just something I'm personally curious about. And if you decide I should throw it out of the interview, I'll do it. But many of your colleagues on the Democratic side have said very similar words to what you've just said as they've announced that they're not going to seek to come back to Washington. So what is it that makes you want to stay and fight?
You know, I have four grandchildren and four children. And if I leave now, I know that I am leaving a less optimistic future, a degraded environment, a weaker workforce, a less entrepreneurial economy to them. I know that we will have shortchanged them. It's wrong to leave to the next generation the amount of indebtedness that we have generated just in the last decade with two wars, deep tax cuts, all of which benefited my baby boom generation, and of course an expansion of Medicare. It's just wrong to leave them with that debt. It's wrong to leave them living in a less healthy environment and with health care costs that are more than twice what the rest of the world pays. And it's wrong to leave them in a global competition that we are losing every day in terms of our educational system, our research and development, our healthcare delivery, all of those things. So I don't want to give up until we've turned that around. It's just wrong. I'm abdicating my personal responsibility to the people that I love and care about, to my own constituency and to the country I love. I'm not going to give up. These people, a lot of these people, frankly, don't belong in the Congress. You know, if you don't believe in the ability of the American government to represent our highest principles and values and vision, then you ought not be in the Congress. It's fine to be a conservative. I just don't think that it's fine to be somebody that will take every opportunity to denigrate the government that we ought to be responsible for, and to reduce their resources and their influence and their capability of supporting this great country and its population. So I trust that the democratic process is eventually going to prevail, that people will see through some of these people who don't even know enough to know what they don't know about how the government works, and we'll put them out of office so we can get in, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Dwight Eisenhower type of Republicans who did believe in their country and their government. We don't need necessarily a liberal-dominated Congress. I don't think that's our ultimate objective. What we want is a Congress that's dominated with people who believe in the ability of the American people to move forward, to be make this the best nation on earth, and who are willing to compromise. So we have balance between liberal and conservative views, but always with an ultimate objective of working together to fulfill the vision of our great leaders of the past. And we're not doing that now. We're not fulfilling anybody's vision except these marginal extremists like Grover Norquist and others. And that hardly reflects the best of America.
Congressman, I appreciate you taking that question, and I'm grateful for your time this afternoon. If I could take you back to the conversation about the appropriations bills and where the agencies stand, and in the spirit of football season, I'll give you a date for an over-under, if you'll play along with me a little bit.
Sure.
The date I'll give you is February 1st to have appropriations bills done. Would you take the over or the under if you were a gambling man?
I think all the appropriation bills, with one exception, will be done by February 1st. The one exception is the Labor, Health, and Human Services appropriations bill. I think we may be stuck with a continuing resolution on that, and possibly the Interior Department because of EPA. But 10 out of 12 is not too bad. I think we'll have at least 10 appropriation bills done by February 1st of 2012.